It's the Local Beat with O'Brien, brought to you by Vandermark Jewelers on East Broad Street in Elyria, a trusted name in jewelry. And it is Wednesday morning, which means we go to the hotline and welcome in Dave O'Brien from the Chronicle-Telegram. Dave, how are we doing today?
Fine, thanks, Rocco.
Great to hear, Dave. Great to hear. I actually wanted to get to a story that you wrote here shortly, but first wanted to start with some news on Oakwood Elementary School right here in Elyria. Finally have a dollar amount put on that thing in terms of renovation and improvements toward that facility. So what are the details with this one, Dave?
Yeah, so this is a plan to stabilize and sort of renovate the former Oakwood Elementary School. And Elyria City officials are saying that basically this is going to cost about $1.6 million. The former school has been discussed as possibly being a community center, you know, having a senior center along with, along sort of children's activities and a place for children and you know, sort of the elderly senior citizens, adults to come together and basically have like a little bit of a community area where it's intergenerational and people can spend time together. So the plan here is, according to Mayor Frank Whitfield, that the focus is on the outcome at the end of the day. And as he said in Elyria City Council's Joint Community Development and Finance Committee meeting on Monday, that means providing more opportunities for our young people to have a safe and nurturing place for them to go out of school, help them academically, prepare for the future, and also to foster relationships within the community. That plan has two additional options that are kind of a little more flexible. The Elyria nonprofit Save Our Children is kind of the driving force behind that you know, intergenerational, multi-generational community center. Mm-hmm. It's going to serve both youth and seniors.
So very interesting stuff here, and kind of looking at the two different plans or options, if you will, plan A and plan B, as Kevin Martin sort of wrote here in the Chronicle-Telegram. Dave, like you kind of mentioned, sort of different with their approach, but ultimately trying to serve the same thing, it seems.
Yeah, and plan A is really sort of the traditional plan to sort of expand offerings and help Oakwood to be, you know, this service facility, this community center. That would serve up to 250 kids, programming for seniors. There would be renovations to the roof, windows, and bathrooms, so it all complies with the Americans with Disability Act. Mm-hmm. The estimated cost would be about $400,000 for the replacement of the roof, another $250,000 for the windows, and then increased estimates that would basically bring those restrooms into ADA compliance. You know, you would have to expand them a little bit because elementary school bathrooms are obviously a little bit different than you know, sort of normal restrooms that you would see. There was also a budget in there for landscaping. That was $150,000, and then $50,000 additional for interior furnishing. And then the other plan B would be a long-term lease with Save Our Children. And that would be similar to the arrangement that is already in place with Cascade Park. The city would look for a 25-year lease or some shorter-term leases with a one-time grant of between $500,000 and $800,000 to make the building, you know, capable of handling this multi-generational center. And then a grant from the state of Ohio would be brought in for additional funding for building upgrades.
I see. All right. So those are basically the two plans or the two options. And for more on that, you can check out Tuesday's Chronicle-Telegram. Again, Kevin Martin had the latest there. And worth mentioning at the tail end here, a third option under Plan C, it would see the city just, you know, selling the building with the right of first refusal for any sale. So there you go. The latest in Tuesday's Chronicle-Telegram on that one. The story that you had in Tuesday's CT, Dave, former human resources director here in Lorain County, Jen Sinatra, had some choice words for the Lorain County commissioners on her way out the door. So I'll just turn this over to you. What all was said? We kind of know what's happened with the commissioners, and you've been sort of the main driving force behind a lot of the stories that have been broke about the commissioners in the past year and a half, 2 years or so. But what happened here with former HR Director Jen Sinatra?
Yeah, so Jen Sinatra put out an exit interview upon her August 19th exit from county employment. And she was hired back in January 2021 based on a campaign promise by Commissioner Michelle Hung, a Republican, who said that she wanted to create an HR department in the county to standardize and sort of centralize, you know, human resources, you know, payroll, you know, policies and procedures. And she really made that a campaign promise, and that came to fruition. But unfortunately, Jen Sinatra had few good words to say about Michelle Hung, the person who basically, you know, sort of gave her the job, got her that job. She also took Matt Lundy and Auditor Craig Snodgrass to task, saying that they have created a flagrant personal agenda in county government, one that is hostile, where there is interference by elected officials, and also that there was just an environment that was perpetuated by Hung and Lundy that compelled Sinatra to leave. And this included, you know, creating legal issues, creating poor morale among county employees, confusion, chaos, those kinds of things. I mean, that was what Sinatra said she wanted to prevent, but what she said eventually came to pass. And she said she had trouble getting, you know, the auditor's office to work with her to take both the human resources angle of things and then marry it to the payroll side of things. And she wanted to have a little bit more control over that. But the auditor's office, she said, wasn't allowing her to do that and was pushing back. Now, Auditor Craig Snodgrass, I also talked to for the story. He wouldn't really go into detail, but he said there were a lot of complicated matters and there were things that were happening under the Affordable Care Act the county had to do. And Sinatra pushed back and said, look, you know, there's things that I tried to do that would have, you know, that would have made this all much easier, but the county leaders, especially Hung, Lundy, and Snodgrass, just didn't want that to happen, and that was her takeaway. She said there was favoritism from the commissioners, didn't promote a healthy culture, divided the staff, and that people were afraid that they were going to be on what she called the, quote, Hung and Lundy chopping block, unquote, and would be fired without cause or merit. This was denied, of course, by Hung and Lundy, who said that's sort of just Jen Sinatra's opinion. Mm-hmm. Hung said that the exit interview wasn't a proper exit interview. It was really what she called, quote, a type dissertation from an ex-employee, unquote.
Whew. So quite a lot to unpack, I suppose, within that. So is there any sort of next step with this, Dave? I mean, sort of, you know, reading through everything, it doesn't necessarily seem like it. It almost sort of seems like, well, he said and she said, and I wanted to do this but couldn't do that because of this, and you know, obviously some denials and everything with that. Is there anything that sort of happens next with this, or is it just kind of another tale in the saga of the current county commissioners?
Well, it's difficult because the commissioners really have no power over Sinatra anymore. She's moved on to a new job,
right?
And she just this is her parting shot, and she, you know, she can't be really, you know, taken to task by them anymore, other than in a word. I mean, she doesn't work for them anymore, and she's got significant concerns, and if any of those can be backed up by facts and by documents and other things that I can get my hands on, well, you'll read more about it in the Chronicle.
There you go. You heard the man. You follow the Chronicle Telegram or online at chronicletea.com. Dave O'Brien and all of his colleagues over there at the CT have the latest. Again, Dave O'Brien is our guest this morning on The Local Beat, brought to you by Vandermark Jewelers on East Bronze Street in Elyria, a trusted name in jewelry. Dave, thank you again for the breakdown of those two stories. Again, you can find more details on both of those in Tuesday's Chronicle Telegram or online at chronicletea.com. Dave, what are you and your colleagues over there at the CT working on the rest of this week? What can our listeners expect to read as far as upcoming stories go?
Yeah, so there's some real interesting stuff that from my colleague Jason Hawk about the you know, sort of a wrap up on the Lorain County Fair, you know, on attendance figures and you know, and sort of how the fair board felt that the fair went this year. And I think we didn't hear a whole lot of concerns about you know, necessarily bad things or, you know, unfortunate things that happened there. There was a story that he also worked on about some vandalism at a 4-H booth that is concerning, and he'll have a story on that. But also just generally a wrap up, and like I said, about the attendance. And then also I'll be planning to have a story about a new break in the Gibson's versus Oberlin College civil court case, and you'll read all about that in today's Chronicle Telegram.
Wow, more developments in that story, man. That thing may never end. But speaking on the fair, Dave, how cool was it that Governor Mike DeWine was able to stop by the WEOL and Chronicle Telegram booth? Not every day the governor makes an appearance, let alone at the WEOL booth. That was kind of cool, huh?
Yeah, that's nice that the governor decided to come and pay some attention to Lorain County. It's good when our state leaders, decide to stop by and that they are willing to talk to the press and that they're willing to discuss what's going on. And it's always nice when they pay us some attention and we get to ask them some questions and get to figure out how things are going in Columbus. When it comes to what's happening in our own backyard, so thank the governor for showing up, and it's good to know that he was able to come to Lorain County and grace us with his presence.
No doubt, and I know he was in contact with some of the folks over there at the fairgrounds in terms of renovations and maybe the area there in Wellington seeing some upgrades in the coming years in terms of seeing more events and things happening over there for the benefit of the entire Lorain County community. So keep your eye on that, and again, pretty cool that Governor DeWine and Fran DeWine was able to stop by last week at the Lorain County Fair. All right, Dave, before we get you out of here, we'll finish on this, my favorite time of the week. Hope everybody's got their ears on the scanner. What are you hearing, Dave, on this week's scanner story?
Well, I don't know how much of this is actually a disturbance, but it was put out there by our friends at Northeast Ohio Scanner on Twitter. A call for a disturbance in East Cleveland at Euclid and Shaw. A man giving another man a haircut sitting in a chair in the middle of the street. Now, I don't know necessarily that that's a police matter. And I think that that we could just politely say, hey, maybe that's not a great idea, or please move along, or pick it up on the sidewalk, which is public property, or take it on the front lawn. But yeah, the haircut in the middle of the street, and I don't know what all was going on, but maybe it's a good idea for everybody to kind of stay out of the middle of the street, especially if it's busy. So
yeah.
I don't know that was necessarily a police matter, but but there you go. There it is.
Well, maybe not the safest, but that's great marketing right there for the barber, right? I mean, you're driving by, you notice I'm looking a little shaggy up top. Boom, haircut right in the middle of the street. Again, maybe not the safest locale, but pretty dang convenient, I would say. Maybe just move that onto the sidewalk and we're all good, right? So great stuff there, Dave. And Dave O'Brien has been our guest here on The Local Beat, brought to you by Vandermark Jewelers on East Broad Street in Elyria, a trusted name in jewelry. Again, for the latest from Dave and all of his colleagues over there at the CT, you can pick up a copy of the Chronicle Telegram today or check it out online at that digital e-edition available now at chronicleT.com. Dave, thank you for the time as always, my friend. Have a great rest of the week, and I'll talk to you next Wednesday.
Sounds good, Rocco.